As Martha was mentioning earlier, when she talked about, was reading in Isaiah, but already speaking of heaven's loss, and the picture that she had looked at and she showed us this morning at home, it's a picture that reminds us of all that was for the ages prior to the world, God creating the world. And then it helps us, as I thought of so many of the songs that were sung, it reminds us over and over again that God's plan for us began in heaven. And that's where it will end, with those who accept the gift that he has given. If you will turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, we will see some of the truth of what Jesus Christ, who he was, and the great loss that was heaven's. But if we think of that, and then we think of people's response to Jesus Christ today, our own response to Jesus Christ today, where is it in comparison? Is it even an appropriate response? Do we really think and live as if Jesus is enough? Is there truly, honestly, nothing that we need besides Jesus Christ? You see, we have five candles that are burning. Today we lit the Christ candle, the last candle. And as we talked about those candles each Sunday, as we looked at them, we had that prophecy. We went into the Old Testament and looked at how it pointed ahead to that first advent. We had the candle of peace, of joy, of love. And today, the Christ candle. Is Christ the fulfillment of all of these? Or is there something that could be more? As we look at these verses, just the first 18 verses here, but I want you to skip down to verse 14 in this passage of Scripture. And I want you to see, let's read that together, because that is kind of the key for this whole Christmas. It says, the Word became flesh. The Son, God, became man and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Today, I'm just going to take a few minutes to look at some of the key words here that are so applicable to everything that we need. The first one we find in the first five verses here. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing has been made. And without him nothing has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The Word, Jesus Christ. Now, do you need words? We guys don't. We're okay with a lot of... You know, we can make all kinds of noises and we can get people to understand. And girls, they need words because all of this isn't enough. You have to explain what it means. Even sign language needs words, right? Have you ever thought of it? If there were no words, nothing. How would you express yourself? The new fad in the ministerial seems to be gestures. And in gestures, you're not supposed to use words. I find that words help, and then you pray for forgiveness after. But some call it cheating. Others, it's a matter of survival. But you see, we try to do gestures without words. But do you know what it really is? We see the word, and then we try to make you understand what that word is. What if we didn't even have the word? Do you see what words do? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, the Word became flesh. God's expression of Himself to us. He needed to express Himself. God's expression of Himself to us was the Word. Many of us have traveled to a foreign country, and so we've been in a country where we cannot understand. And I imagine it must have been that way at the Tower of Babel in Genesis, right? Well, what it feels like when there are many, many words and many actions, but you cannot understand a single one of them. And you feel totally lost. God spoke to us throughout the Old Testament in revealing Himself on Mount Sinai, in the burning bush, and in a lot of different ways. But you know what? We weren't understanding Him. It was a foreign language to us because it was God. And somehow it just seemed like we weren't obeying the Ten Commandments. We didn't keep the laws that God gave us. We broke them. And so the Word became flesh. The Word, the language, came into our own language, was translated into something that we could understand. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 6, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light, the true light that gives light to every man who is coming into the world. He was the light. The light is Jesus Christ. Now, do you ever... Now, I know that a lot of times we think of this light in the terms of a light going on and it chases away the darkness. And you know, that is true, and we will see that. But do you know that there's more to it than that? Do you ever wander around when you've visited with someone who is a bit of an intellectual and you wonder, what were we talking about? And all of a sudden, the light goes on. Isn't that what we say? The light goes on. What does that mean when we say the light goes on? What we mean is that all of a sudden, it makes perfect sense. We understand the problem. We understand the equation. We understand the conversation. We understand the joke. But the light comes on. Notice in the verse 5 here, it says, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. The darkness has not understood it. That's the sense of in which the light comes on for you when you understand something and it makes perfect sense. God sent Jesus to come in the flesh. The Word was made flesh. Why? So that He could speak to us in a language that makes sense. And all of a sudden, the light goes on. Maybe you've learned a bit of Spanish, and so next time you're in Mexico, all of a sudden the light goes on. And that's what they meant. God wanted us so desperately to understand. His desire for us, His plans for us, everything that He wanted for us. He wanted us to understand that. And so He sent Jesus, His Son, to be the Word, but He also sent Him to be the light. Jesus Christ is light. Sometimes we like darkness, don't we? Why? Why do we like darkness? Jesus said that the verdict is that light came into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it might be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. We love our darkness. We laugh at something or participate in something, not understanding what's happening, but if we can, we'll pull the wool over someone's eyes so that we will not look. I can't use the word stupid, right, Frank? Because Frank's boys said that I said a bad word. But we don't want to look like we don't know. We want to appear to have it all together. And yes, this darkness could be the deeds of darkness, the sin of darkness, the awfulness of sin. But you know what? Many of us would say, that's not me. I haven't lived in gross sin. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. So it can't be that bad for me. And so we find here, it's the same. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's no one that's good enough. There's no one that didn't need this word, this light, to come into their lives. He is enough. Jesus in John chapter 12 said, I've come into the world as a light so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness. He doesn't want us to stay in darkness. So we have the word. We begin to understand what God wants. And the light is beginning to dawn. It's come on for us. And what do we see? We see the darkness of our sin. We see who we really are. Verse 10. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. What's in a name? Do we need the name of Jesus? Is it enough? As we begin to understand who we are and we begin to see it in comparison to what God desires of us, all that God would like for us, and to be able to see the beauty of God and the darkness of our own selves, then we need help. We can't make it on our own. We can't make that change over to what God would want, over to the light, over to the kingdom of God. The world was made by him, but the world did not receive him, did not want him, because it revealed who they were. It showed it in such stark contrast. But he says, as many as believed in him, to them who believed in his name, what's so amazing about the name? Many times, and we can just stay, you know, with that early church, but we see that the power of the name, Jesus uses that. He says in John 17, he says, Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name that you gave me. The power of your name, the name that you gave me. The church of Jesus Christ was still very young when the disciples were arrested for healing a man. Remember when they healed that man in the temple? Peter and John had He had been begging there, asking them for some coins. And Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Later on, they're in front of in court. They brought before the judges. They said, "By what power or what name?" These unbelieving judges and unbelieving court system recognized there was something about the name of Jesus. "By what name or what power did you do it, name this?" And then Peter, in responding, said, "Salvation is found in no one else, for there's no name under heaven. There's no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." A little later on, he says, "All the prophets testify, here's that Old Testament connection, that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sins through his name." The name of Jesus Christ. That's what it is. The name of Jesus Christ. There's power in his name. How much power? Many men and women have given their lives for the name of Jesus Christ. All they had to do was deny the name of Jesus Christ and they could live, and they didn't do it. There's power in the name of Jesus. Why is there such incredible power? We have in this passage of Scripture, the start to the Gospel of John, it starts out by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then he ends it like similar ways. Let's read from verse 15 and on here. John testifies concerning him, that's Jesus. He cries out saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who's at the Father's side, has made him known." God, the one and only. Who is he? Jesus Christ. The Word, Jesus Christ. The Light, Jesus Christ. The Name, Jesus Christ. God, the one and only, Jesus Christ. But God, the one and only, who's it talking about? Jesus Christ, because it says, has made him known. Jesus came to make God the Father known. If we were to go back into the Old Testament, we would read that that term, we would find that that term is only used for God. Deuteronomy, "The Lord is God, besides him there is no other." Isaiah, "I am the Lord, there is no other. Apart from me there is no God. I am the Lord, there is no other." 13 times you would find those expressions in Scripture. The Lord is God, or I am the Lord, and there is no other. And here in John, he uses those same words. In verse 14, "We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only," or of the only begotten. Verse 18, "But God, the one and only, who's at the Father's side, has made him known." Is Jesus enough? Have you experienced his salvation, his forgiveness of your sins? Have you experienced the Word, the Light, the Name, the power of God in your light, in your life? Are you living like it? Or is it just something that you know is true, but it's never impacted your life to the fullness of which God desires it to be? Let's pray. Father, we know that when you came, when you wanted to show us, express yourself to us, show us who you were, you came to us in a baby. That baby, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I don't fully understand about how the wonder of all of this, but I do understand that you tried to get a message across to us, and that to as many as receive you, Lord Jesus, and believe in your name, to those you give the right to become children. And Lord, I've spent 40 years plus learning more and more about the wonder of that. Each of us sitting here would put different years to that, maybe. Maybe some of us wouldn't even be able to put any years to it because we've never experienced that wonder of what you wanted for us. Oh, we've seen your communication. We've seen the way that you've expressed yourself. And we even are aware of the light. But if we get too close to the light, it's going to expose us for who we really are. And so we never move on to the next step of allowing the power of your name to forgive our sins, of having something, someone to believe in that's out of this world, that's beyond eternity. Lord, I pray that as we go through the rest of this day, the rest of this celebration season, that the wonder of this story, as we've heard it in a variety of means this morning, will go with us and grow in us and change us. In Jesus' name, amen. I wish you a Merry Christmas. God's blessings on your celebrations together. Go in peace, because Jesus came to be born, to die, so that we could live forever. Go in His grace.